Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Isadora, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett.
And can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Widdicombe.
Good gal.
What a name that is. Isadora.
Isadora?
Yeah.
It's a great... So Izzy, for short.
Yeah, Izzy. Isadora.
Do you like that?
Yeah, I like the word Dora. I like the word Izzy. There was a thing on TV when I was a kid called Wizardora, I think.
There's Dora the Explorer.
You don't need to tell me there's Dora the Explorer, mate. I wrote her magazines for a year.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot. Like, my kids don't really watch Dora the Explorer, though. Is she still going?
No, do you know what? We haven't done it at all, Dora the Explorer. And it, to be honest...
Yeah.
I don't need that year of my life bringing back to me in vivid...
Yeah, but
Technicolor.
Do you want her to get into it and then you can whip out the magazines and be like, hey, didn't want to bring it up?
What, hey, look at the front, go down the credits, look at editorial assistant right at the bottom in Times New Roman 6 size font. That's my name, which you can't read yet.
What was your... When you left, did you go to uni?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Linguistics.
At Manchester?
Yeah.
Linguistics, right. What is linguistics?
Study of language. Like English language.
Oh, so that's why you're so good at podcasts.
Exactly, mate. Words are my tool.
You studied them. And then what, did you want to be a journalist?
No, I didn't know what I wanted to be, so I totally drifted. Did a year at Waterstones in Manchester, Piccadilly.
So stiff. Rigid. Absolutely
year
fucking
at
rigid.
Absolutely rigid. I've told you about when I did the David Beckham book signing. I've told you that.
Yeah.
And then did that year.
Yeah. Was there a dog barking?
Yeah, there is a dog barking.
Why have you got a dog?
No, I've got a window open because it's fucking boiling. Do you think if I bought a dog this week, I'd be starting with an anecdote about book signing from 2005? How's your week been as a parent, Rob?
How's the week been? Oh, busy week as a parent, actually. I've been at home more. I've sort of finished my...
Oh, you lucky fucker.
My stand-up shows for... I'm back again in November to do Ireland and Northern Ireland and Scotland. A few gigs. You know when it was COVID and Scotland Northern Ireland...
Yeah, I'm aware of it.
They had slightly different rules to England.
Yeah, yeah.
But which doesn't really affect you unless you're trying to do a show, like trying to do a tour
show.
So I've got a few to do in...
You're doing the Celtic Nations.
The Celtic tour and then off to Australia. So I've got no more gigs till then. So I've been at home a lot more.
So if you're England-based and you want to see Rob Beckett, you're going to have to travel.
Carlisle is all you've got left.
Carlisle's all you got, yeah, which is basically Scotland.
Yeah, okay, don't you dare... Okay, you're in trouble. They're not going to like that around the lakes.
Or if you want to see Rob Beckett, obviously, you know, maybe we should plug our tour, Rob, which is in spring, or our book,
the Parents
which is
in
out
Hell.
At Christmas.
Yeah, the Parenting Hell tour and the book. Well, let's just get a bit of content out first before you start plugging, John.
I've just done half an anecdote about a book signing, Rob. Get signed by the fucking book.
Are we going to do book signings in person?
I don't know.
Okay, fair enough. A busy week with the kids. My daughter's a thief, headline news.
Oh, is she?
Yep, she's been stealing from preschool.
No, what's she been stealing?
So basically, she's...
Is this your younger daughter?
Youngest daughter, so she's like four. She's not at proper school yet.
Yeah.
So they went for a stage of they're allowed to take toys into preschool, and then it got out of hand. Kids were taking in their massive, like, teddies and all sorts, and then the school said, look, no more teddies coming in. Like, it's too much. They get lost and they argue. So anyway, she's been sneaking in, like, little tiny teddies in her pocket, like or tiny little figures, and taking them, and I think they'll show each other them, which is fine. Anyway, next to her bed were these two little wooden figures. I've never seen them ever before.
Oh.
Okay. And I said, what are they? And she went, treasure.
Treasure?
Yeah. I was like,
bloody hell, who's she? Fucking Gollum?
Precious. Treasure. No, she went, they're treasure. And I went, okay, where did you get them? She went, in the mud, in the treasure. Like, and right. I was, then I said,
and you thought this isn't looking good.
Yeah. And I went, have you taken these from school? And she smiled and said, no. With the face of someone that meant yes.
She is pretty. Do you know what? Because my daughter's four as well.
She's not thieving yet. To be fair, it's in the genes for her. She has to just get away from it.
Do you know what we're talking about here, Rob? We're talking about, you can already tell at the age of four what a neck is going to be like.
I can see her neck already.
Yeah, she can barely support her head. Whereas my daughter can't even look left or right at the moment.
So that's
metaphorically.
That's so true, actually. Like, I'd say my eldest is slightly stiffer in the neck and my youngest is more loose. And you really noticed it. We did sports day as well this week. You really noticed it.
Oh, yeah. Talk to me about sports day. Was there a father's race?
There wasn't a father's race because I had to cancel it because it gets too competitive, and they had to ring an ambulance when a man banged his head after falling over. Because they're not warmed up. They've stood up for an hour and then they get forced to run normally in work clothes and they injure themselves. So they've cancelled them.
Oh my God.
Because of injuries. And then people
were you slightly relieved?
Well, do you know what? No, I would have done it and I probably wouldn't have won because there's a couple of blokes about 6'3" and they run all the time. I see them running past my house doing runs.
I wasn't considering that you'd win.
Well, no, what's the point in running if you don't win? So I just said, did you take them from school? And she said, yeah. And then she put her arms out and went, ha ha. She does
an evil genius?
Yeah, an evil villain laugh.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, what is this? And then I went, no, you mustn't do that. That's naughty. We'll take it back and, you know, and give it back to the school. And then she just went, we're the bad guys.
What?
You know the film, The Bad Guys? Have you seen it?
No.
There's a film called The Bad Guys, like a cartoony film about the baddies in the film.
Yeah.
And they're the bad guys. And they're like, it's like a wolf and a snake. And that's their thing. They go, we're the bad guys.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so she's just naughty now.
That's incredible.
But I don't,
Rob,
and I don't think this film's out.
Rob, you need to move to Zone 2, mate. She'd fit in like an absolute glove.
No, I'll keep her down near Kent, County Lines. County Lines drug deal. That's where the money is. You don't want to be in a city. You want to be bringing it into the Zone 2.
Oh, okay.
That's how you make the big bucks. But, yeah, so she's been doing that, which is worrying.
So do you have to discipline in that situation?
No, she's so young. I'd have said, no, you mustn't do that. Take it back. Yeah. I think, you know, they've got loads of toys.
Did she take it back?
Well, I've not seen it since. And I asked her if she's taken it back. She said yes. But again, she had the eyes of someone that looks like it's hidden in her room. So I'm going to have a look in her room later to see if I can find it. But I don't know. But it's sort of like a little bit of a game and she's laughing. But part of me's like, no, but this is bad. this is not allowed. She did something else the other day where she spilt a drink. So we're trying to get them to clean up after themselves. Went, go and get a cloth from the drawer and clear it up. She only got the cloth from the drawer and like cleared up this milk. But instead of putting it in the sink, she's put it back in the drawer. So she's putting dirty cloths back in the drawer after cleaning up after herself.
No. You've lost it, Rob. She's gone.
It's gone.
She's gone. She basically, mate, sit back and enjoy.
Hope for the best.
From the age of 13, mate, she's going to be on the bloody lash.
Oh, no.
You've got a tear away on your hands, Rob.
Well, yeah, because we had a bit of a party for Lou's birthday on Saturday. It's about 40 or 50
your
people.
Your daughter's still going at 4 a.m.
Well, exactly that. So we had about, from 2 o'clock, people came round, and well, some with kids, some just as like adults. Not as adults, you know, they didn't have kids with them.
They were posing as adults, but they were children.
Yeah, there were
two children in a big long coat, that kind of thing.
No, so we had loads of people. It was really busy until, like, you know, 11 o'clock. And then, anyway, so it got to about 7 or 8, which was a bit tight. They were a bit tired. But my youngest was still going. We had this, like, slide thing, still going on the slide, still going on the slide. And then my eldest one, who's a bit quieter and a bit more reserved, come up to me. And it was so busy and loud in the house. And she just went, Daddy, I just want to be on my own for a bit.
Oh, Rob, that's heartbreaking.
I know. But you know what? I went, OK,
no
worries.
Your daughter's going to start drinking before your older daughter.
I know as well. I'm not so even bad now. I can see it already. But then, so I said to her, yeah, of course. But I was really proud of her because I think that's quite emotionally intelligent to acknowledge. Ooh. She wasn't enjoying it. It
I
was
haven't
too
even got
much.
To that point no. yet. Sometimes in my life, I think I should have just gone to my hotel room on my own.
Yes,
here
I was thinking that.
Because I'm trying to be sociable.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the mental state for this.
Yeah, I'm too tired. I've only got so much energy to be sociable. And then I put her upstairs and she watched her iPad for a bit. And then after about half an hour, came down and was playing again. She just needed a little reset. But I'm glad she said
word.
That. And I'm glad I sort
She's
of...
She's basically into mindfulness at the age of six.
Well, I'm trying. And also, I think in the past, people are so scared of being polite and their kids being polite. You go, no, we've got friends over. You must stay.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, if she wants to chill out, let her chill out. Like, I could have done with half hour on my own.
Exactly.
So that was quite...
I'd love that.
That was good, wasn't it?
Time out at a party.
Yeah, so I just want to be on my own for a bit. Bless her.
That'll be me at Glastonbury.
Oh, have you heard about Glastonbury?
Well, it's happened. If you're listening to this, it's happened. But this is recorded the day before I go to Glastonbury.
Yes, because, have you read the Daily Star today?
Well, obviously, that's how I start every day, Rob.
Well, have you read the headline?
What, on the front of the Daily Star?
Yep. So there's a big headline about the rail strikes. And then at the top,
right.
Glasto Beast.
Right.
And it says, big cat fright for middle classes.
Oh, right.
So
there's
a reported sight of a huge puma that they've seen on site.
A huge puma they've seen on site?
Yeah, like a panther. They've seen it running around the site.
We've all hallucinated things on site at Glastonbury,
No, but this
Rob,
was the,
but...
this was the people putting it all up, setting it all up. You know, because it's down at Beast of Bodmin and all that round
where you live.
Because the people, the posh people used to buy big cats, didn't they, from Harrods?
Yeah. The Beast of Bodmin's a real thing.
Yeah.
Beast of Bodmin is a puma that someone had that then has been released into the wild.
Yeah, so he's at Glastonbury, or she.
He's at Glastonbury. Really?
Yeah.
Has he got in?
Doing the Sunday night. but yeah, just so you know, just be careful.
Okay, so don't be attacked by puma.
If you see one, try and avoid it.
Okay, yeah.
Okay,
but
just a heads up.
It's not just some kind of reveller dressed up as a puma, it's probably a puma.
Yeah, but I think people...
If they released a puma into the Pyramid Field when Paul McCartney was on, that would be absolutely awful.
What, because of Paul McCartney being on or just in general?
Well, he'd be all right because he'd be up on the stage, wouldn't he? Although he's 80, isn't he? His heart's not going to take it.
I think pumas can climb. But yeah. I just enjoyed that headline of, like, for middle class. It's a real dig at the Glasto beef.
Too right,
Rob. But be safe. Oh, other things. I was trying to make dinner for my kids and I said, who wants beans on toast? My youngest went, yes, please. My eldest said, no. And I went, for a laugh, beans near toast? And she said, yes.
Yeah. That's the problem, Rob. That's the problem with these kids. They feel they need opinions, but they don't actually have anything to base it on.
No, I just think she wants the beans being on the toast to be her choice.
Yeah, but...
So she had beans near toast.
And did it work?
Yeah, fucking gobbled it all up.
Did she put it on the toast herself?
Yeah.
But this is the thing, Rob. You've just got to give them the illusion of choice.
Yes.
So it's like when my daughter says, every time I put her shoes on, she says they're not tight enough. So now if I say, do you want them tighter... She'll say yes, and then I'll do them exactly the same, and she'll be fine
right,
with that.
Right, yeah. Because basically, I would have had to go for about four different meals. But if I went, who wants beans on toast? So I said, who wants toast on beans? She weren't interested.
Yeah.
And then I said, do you want beans near toast? All over that.
So are you now going to make that your speciality?
Oh, yeah. I specialise in beans near toast.
The worst thing was your younger daughter stole the meal off her, didn't she? So she never got to eat any.
It was quite near. It was in my youngest daughter's pocket, the beans.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you want the best, you have to act fast, especially when hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds top talent fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Spotify. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
This is quite funny. I was on stage gigging and someone in the audience's phone rang and it was their 10-year-old daughter.
What?
So I went, you've got her answer. It's your 10-year-old daughter. She was with a babysitter. Anyway, I said, can I answer it? So I answered it, and it was this girl, and then I had the phone up on the mic, and she was like, hello. I went, hello, you're on stage. Your mum's here. And she was like, a bit shy, obviously, going, oh, you're all right. And it was quite funny. And then I went, oh, what did you want to ask your mum? And she went, something happened at swimming and I need to tell her.
Oh,
I have never hung up a phone call quicker in my life.
Oh, my. You just hung up.
Oh, no, I did hang up.
You just hung up.
No, I did. I gave it to her mum and her mum went out to speak to her.
Oh, my God. And was it all right?
Oh, well, not the 5 minutes of waiting for an answer, wasn't.
Oh, my God, Rob, you're your own worst enemy there, really.
So now...
Yeah, you've set yourself up there.
Yeah, so now it's just me and 1,000 people.
So what are you doing with the 5 minutes with 1,000 people that all think that you've ruined a night by making fun of a, you know, a potentially harrowing incident.
Yeah, a girl's had a harrowing incident at a swimming club. So it's quite awkward for a bit. I make a joke about it being awkward, but there's nothing I can do until that woman comes back with hopefully good news. Or if it's bad news, we end the gig.
If she doesn't come back within 10 minutes, game over.
So I'd sort of carried on a little bit and did a couple of little jokes about my kids. And then the mum come back in and I went, what was it? She went, oh, a swimming hat had a rip in it. And I went, oh, for fuck's sake. She rung for that.
Unbelievable.
Then I had a go at the mum and that made it funny.
Yeah, that's good. But that's good. It was, at least you humiliated that moment, someone. That's the main
thing.
Yeah,
as long as someone's been humiliated for my own sort of ego and financial gain, that's showbiz. That's life.
So what's it been like being back at home after this long period of working?
No, it's good. It's nice. It's only sort of just started, but it's nice to sort of like not... I like getting up with the kids in the morning, but when you get home late from a gig at like midnight and then you can't sleep till 2 and then you're up at like... Lou lets me lie in a bit because the kids get up at 6 and I get up about 7:30, but it's still only 5 hours sleep a night. You know what I mean?
The pressure. I got home last night at 11:30 and I wasn't ready for bed, but in my head I'm already doing the countdown. Do you know what I mean? You're already doing the maths.
So was you gigging last night or working?
I was working, came back. So I was filming for 4 days, came back, right, and got home late. And I knew I had to be up. And you just can't... We've discussed this before, Rob. You can't say, I need a lie-in in that situation. You simply can't say it.
Think about a sleeping tablet. Maybe a couple of sleeping tablets.
And do you know what, Rob? My sleeping tablet days are done.
Are you feeling all right now?
Yeah, I'm still not very good at sleeping in a hotel room.
Yeah.
But...
But you're not clinically depressed.
Well, I've had my moments.
Oh, no.
But I'm coming through it. Yeah, it is a bit like long COVID, but I'm coming through it. I'm having more good days than bad now.
Oh, mate, when did you have first had these tablets?
Well, do you know what's happened?
Was it 3 weeks ago?
Because I was in a hotel. I had...
do you know what the problem here is? Hotels.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what? I like my life at home, Rob.
Yeah.
And I don't like being in a hotel on my own.
Why don't you... What's happening in there?
Well, I've got a rip in my swimming hat, Rob. What's happening in there?
So let's boil down. What are you thinking when you're there? Are you feeling guilty you're not at home or you miss home, the bed, the pillow?
All of that in one big package, articulated as insomnia.
And so did you like sleeping away from home when you was little? Did you go to sleepovers?
Yeah, I was fine with that. I think genuinely, since I've had children, I've not been able to sleep very well in hotel rooms.
Really?
It's weird that, isn't it?
Yeah, that is odd. But maybe it's something you need to speak to someone about
Do
it mentally rather than medically to sort it out.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Sleeping tablets are just short term, aren't they? Well, not for you, they're quite long term.
Well, they're proving quite long term, actually, yeah. To be honest, they're still having an effect.
The old insomnia side effect of the sleeping tablets.
I've downloaded the Calm app, and that has been an absolute game changer. If you're feeling really anxious, I highly recommend the Calm app, which is lots of meditations and lots of kind of nice sleep meditations, normal meditations, and it's really helped. So that's turned me around.
What I listen to a lot is Michael Seeley does these hypnosis things that and they do different ones where it's like they're about 45 minutes and it's, you pick it either if it's like anxiety or if it's overthinking or busy brain and that, and he sort of talks really slowly and gently. And also Alan Watts on YouTube has got loads of interesting talks about like being calm and not taking things too seriously.
It's so much more effective than you think it's going to be to do stuff like that.
Well, yeah, because I think actually life is really hard, right? That's no getting around that. It's difficult, like, for everyone, obviously. But life is, overall, life's tough, and there's varying degrees of tough for different people. Yeah. But I think, actually, the truth of it is, we are way better at dealing at it as people and individuals than our brain lets us think we are. So it is tough, but it's not insurmountable. We can totally deal with it. And there's plenty of time to do everything we need to do. But your brain is, because it's trying to make you survive, is trying to keep you going and wants you to keep moving. And we've got to do that now. You've got to do this now. And it's like a big sort of ball of anxiety and energy. But if you take a moment to sort of calm down and breathe and using whatever it is, if it's the Calm app or those Alan Watts things that help me, you realise actually you've got plenty of time and it is all doable. And we're way better at doing it if we just get left alone without the brain sort of cracking the whip on us,
totally.
As it were.
But totally.
Well, I'm glad the Calm app works.
Yeah, I'm feeling all right, but my daughter's at home today because there's been an outbreak of scarlet fever at nursery.
Oh, really? Scarlet fever? What's that? Just like there's a new girl called Scarlet and they'll love her.
Yeah.
It's just like the Beatles. Oh, my God. Have you seen Scarlet's hair? Look at those shoes. So what is scarlet fever?
I thought scarlet fever was like, it feels like something from medieval ages, doesn't it?
Okay, it's a bacterial illness. I take that back. It's a bacterial illness.
Right, yeah.
Strep throat.
But we've kept her at home because we don't want her to get scarlet fever the day before we go to Glastonbury.
Yeah, so who's got the kids? Is it Rose's mum got the kids for the weekend?
Rose's mum, and we've got childcare as well.
Right, okay. So what's that? For how long are you going for?
I'm going tomorrow, which is Thursday.
Back on Sunday morning. Afternoon.
Back on Sunday.
Yes.
Leave Sunday morning.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, I think you're better off leaving Sunday.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, so three nights. God. Oh, that'll be nice.
It'll be nice, Rob.
When you come back from Glastonbury, are you just exhausted?
Or I'll probably need the Calm app again.
Okay. I think you need to be careful this weekend.
I'm going to be fine. Rob, I've bought some colourful sunglasses.
No, but you don't want to come back from injury too soon.
I look like I'm in the Ting Tings.
You don't... The Ting Tings. Ting Tings, I remember that. That's not my name. That's not my name. Yeah. Are they still going?
Get ready. I'll send you a picture of me and my colourful sunglasses. Festival ready.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, Josh, I think psychologically, I wouldn't say you're 100%. It's like when a footballer tries to rush back for a World Cup. You've got to
make sure. It is a bit like Wayne Rooney in 2006.
Yeah. Oh, look at you, you're trendy. Those little green ones.
I've got luminous green sunglasses, Rob. So, yeah, I am a bit like Wayne Rooney in 2006.
Josh, do you know what you look like in that? And please don't take offence.
A hot piece of ass?
No, it looks like Tom Cruise is taking Rain Man to the beach. After a successful bit of gambling. But I think I mean, it's because the rest of you wouldn't wear those sunglasses with the rest of the outfit, would you?
That's no, yours. I was just wearing the shorts because I just pop them on in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. And what are they? They're
swimming shorts with pictures of luminous lobsters on.
Yes, of course, yeah. And then you've got your stripy top on, as per.
Yeah, I just shoved that
but
on.
But they're cool glasses, mate.
Yeah, well, they were like £5 from Amazon. Oh. Or other, you know, somewhere more ethical. Do you know what it is today, Rob?
What is it?
It's my 10-year anniversary with Rose.
Is it? As a couple, not married?
As a couple, yes. Yeah. I don't think it counts, but seemingly it does. We're going out for dinner.
I can't remember. I don't know how long I've been with Lou. God, 13
you can
years,
do it.
I think.
You can do this. 30 years?
13.
Oh, 13 Fucking years. Hell. Fuck me, Rob. How old are you?
I'm 36.
36.
At 23, we started seeing each other.
God, she's seen a transformation, hasn't she?
One of our first dates was she came back from Glastonbury and I cooked her dinner.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
She was all tired and sad.
So it's more or less your anniversary, Rob, at the moment.
Well, this was what happened, yes. Our first ever date was around this time in June, but Lou tried to claim it wasn't because before we got an anniversary for our wedding, which is in October, she claimed it was too close to her birthday. So basically it was her birthday's the 18th and then Glastonbury's obviously the week after because then I would do our anniversary and her birthday at once. So she got the So she started going, oh, no, actually, our first date was like... And then like invented a date that was absolute bollocks.
Oh, my God. But that's good for you, because you don't want anniversary and birthday too close.
No, exactly. And then that anniversary disappears when you get married. So how come you're still remembering this one?
Because it's the big 1-0, I think.
Yeah, but then that gets reset from wedding.
Why did I remember it? Why did I remember it, Rob?
Why?
Because I was thinking about...
About sad things at night again.
No, I was actually thinking about Euro 2012, which is when we got together, during the Euros.
Okay.
And then I thought, wait, that's 10 years ago.
So, through the back door.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Fair enough.
We didn't do through the back door on our first date. I'll be very clear about that, Rob.
Was it on the cards or not? Just completely ruled out? No, completely.
No,
just...
do you know what? It's still not.
Anyway, sports day. Do you do anything for your 10-year anniversary or not?
You just going out for dinner.
Yeah, so but surely that should be reset now that you're married.
Yeah, I know, but we're not going to do it for the 11. But do you know, it's also because I can't tell you how excited I am about going to Glastonbury.
Right, okay.
So it's like Glastonbury starts tonight. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's nice, because you sort of met just... Did you go Glastonbury together that year?
No.
But, okay.
But I'm just using it as a way to extend my holiday, if that makes
sense.
Right,
okay, friend, let's go out for dinner for our anniversary before we go Glastonbury. I'm really excited to hear what goes on in this Glastonbury trip, to be honest, Josh.
I'm not.
Okay, fair enough. But when are we recording when you get back from Glastonbury?
Tuesday, maybe.
Tuesday, okay, you should be all right by then. Right, do you want to hear about Sports Day?
Yes, more than anything.
Hottest I've ever been.
Hottest?
It was about 28 degrees at 10 a.m.
That is awful. What are you wearing?
Shorts, T-shirt, trainers, a couple of business guys. People came in between work calls in like Oxford shirts and trousers. Looked like they were going to die.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
One of the dads, full white tracksuit. Quite bold.
What? Who's he? Jimmy Savile?
He looked like Richard Williams. You know the Williams sisters' dad?
Oh, yeah.
But I think he just wore that because it would be cool because it was white. But then just wear shorts. Anyway, they listen to this. I'm going to have to talk to him about that in about 2 days.
How much did you care about how your daughters did? I imagine your younger daughter, false started, didn't give a shit. She's been boosting for months in an attempt to steal her.
Well, she's having a blood transfusion at the moment. No, the youngest daughter, hers is on Friday, so I've not seen that yet. But she came home. She's really fast, actually. She's as fast as my eldest one, yeah. She's really sporty. Yeah. And she's come home. When we did sports day practice. I won every race. And I was like, okay, did you? And then I spoke to the teacher. I went, she's really excited. She went, oh God, yeah, she loves sports. She's really excited. I went, she told me she's won every race. But, you know, as we know, she is a liar and a thief. So is that true? And then the teacher went, yeah, pretty much. She loves it. She's really quick. But on the sack race, she sometimes goes fast. She keeps falling out of it because she's so erratic like me. She's not very logical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything's
just
100
pure
miles.
Instinct.
Yeah, pure instinct, 100 miles an hour. Let's get, come on, like that. Hers is on Friday, where my eldest, is way more composed and logical. Yeah. So they did loads of weird little competitions. Basically, all the classes, it was reception.
So they still do like egg and spoon and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so basically, the way they did it, it was reception, year one, year two, like all did theirs, and then three, four, and five did theirs.
What year's your daughter in?
Year one. So she was amongst those 3 years. And then what they do is they all go around and do these, like throwing a ball in a hoop stuff. And but the thing is, they're all in little form groups. So there's blue, red, yellow, and green, and she's in the blues. And basically, in her class, there were three blues, three greens, four reds, and six yellows. So it was a bit lopsided, the numbers, which is fine. But then there was a game where they have cones down. So one team, so the blue team have to make the cones down. And
this sounds, can I just say, like the most complicated sports day that's ever happened.
Oh, yeah, it's quite complicated. Because basically...
I'm really struggling to keep a handle on what's going on here.
The 3 years...
are all split into houses.
Yeah, into like little form groups and houses, okay? So there's four teams going against each other and there's three age groups. Reception, year one and year two. And they all get split up into those groups, right? But then the receptions race. The receptions and the year ones, right? It's the year ones. So there's a game where you turn the cones up and down. So one team have to turn the cones so they're facing down, and the other team have to turn them up. And it's basically who can do it the quickest. But blues versus yellows was 6-3.
Oh, mate. This is not fair. Can't three of them just be subs?
Well, exactly. And I was like, this is an absolute scat. Like I don't want to be a competitive dad.
You stormed out of sports day.
It's fundamentally not... It's not even like one extra. It's three. It's double the amount of...
It's like on Blockbusters when they used to do two people versus one. And you go, what the fuck? Why have they done this?
You wouldn't do five-a-side football. Okay, you've got 10 on your side. We've got five. Oh, we've lost again. I wonder how that happened. So they were getting hammered. And then anyway, they did a few other ones and it was carnage. I felt sorry for the teachers because it was so hot and the kids don't know what's going on. But then they did all those little games. They went around doing little games like that and there was cones that had to knock over, throwing a ball. And then they had running races. So they did a sprint and then they did like a sort of egg and spoon thing. But it wasn't. It was a racket with a beanbag on.
Right,
Okay, so then my daughter...
They're not old enough for bag and spoon.
No, exactly. And then, so my daughter ran, and she was about sort of mid... Was it about eight kids ran? And she came about fifth, I think, in the 100 metres, so about mid like average. And do you know what? At that age, it wasn't really embarrassing at all, really. It was more like, it weren't the kids are either fast or not. A lot of it is concentration and stuff.
Right,
So everyone was really cheering. There were a group of people, I think for the parents of the older year, because... I didn't even know that there were all these different colours. They were all red and had red pom-poms.
Oh, my God.
And they were chanting the name, go red, go red. And I could only see the back of their heads, and I thought, I don't like them.
They are, and I mean this, fucking pathetic.
Yeah, big time.
Grow up. Yeah. If your parents turned up...
Yeah, keep going.
...dressed in red with red pom-poms, then I would leave home. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
What, who do you think you are?
Yeah. I know. And also, and screaming right at the front, all wearing red. I can only see the back of their heads. And I thought, you know what? I fucking hate you. Oh, God, I've said it now, and I've got to go to school later. I might see them.
But
bring your own
Now. Too much time on the hands. That's what they've got, Rob.
But then I weren't bothered until like the announcement. I was like, fucking come on, Blue. Fucking come on, Blue. Like,
how did Blue do?
But I had Blue on by accident as well, and I hope they didn't think I was prick, but I weren't. Blue's won, actually. So her form group won.
And did you go up to the reds in their faces and go,
I went, you're
absolutely
shit.
Absolutely
you know you are. You're shit. You're not singing anymore. Mug. And I was doing cutthroat to them like that. I was like, fuck you, Mug. Wanker.
It was good because you knew the police had hold you back, so you could do whatever you wanted, but they couldn't get
you.
I'm
going to request segregation next time between the different colours of the teams.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Samsung, Expedia, and Sephora. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
So this is what I was talking about. My daughter, because she's a bit more like composed rather than bull in a china shop, she did really well in the beanbag on the racket because she was running. She was about fifth again because she's about that speed in her class, but then as it got towards the end, a couple of them were a bit erratic and dropped the beanbag, and she finished third, which she was really happy with.
Like one of those horses in the Grand National that's just there or thereabouts,
steady,
keeps on going,
tortoise and the hare. So she was really happy because she came third, and she didn't drop her beanbag. She was more excited that she didn't drop her beanbag than finishing third or being quite higher up the finishing, which I thought was quite interesting, where, like, the youngest one...
You've got two very different daughters there, Rob.
But you know what's really interesting? I think there's a bit of a metaphor from life about this. All the kids were running. All they had to do was just run forward or run and holding the beanbag. So it didn't matter. It weren't like a game of rugby where you're marking someone, or a game of football where you've got to get tight on them, and if you don't, they'll pass and get through. So it's, you're totally on your own. But every kid, without fail, was running really well. But then halfway down, they looked either side of them to see where they were. And as soon as they did that, they slowed down and didn't do as well. And it didn't matter if there were slow kids, fast kids or whatever. Every single child that looked at another person did shitter because they got so consumed by how am I doing, what everyone else is doing. But actually, if they just didn't and just ran, they would have done so much better. But that's life, isn't it? And we do that as adults.
Exactly, Rob.
But it was so interesting seeing children do it.
Do you know what? And that you should have taken like the microphone where they announced and said, we're all learning a lesson about life here today, children.
Yes.
What are we learning?
Focus on yourselves. Don't worry about other people's unless they've got red pom-poms like a pair of pricks.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that wasn't a good example because I'm not sort of showing how that... I should ignore them.
But it happens in top-level athletics as well.
Yes.
So the people that look left and right during the 100 metres, it always does them in as well.
Yeah, and it was so interesting because without fail, every kid that did that went slower. And it doesn't help you by seeing where anyone else is because it's not going to make you faster if you see them, is it?
No, exactly.
Anyway, but yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. They did it really well. The kids loved it. They did winners as well, which I thought was good. They said like that form won, where some sports days are doing this where everybody's won. Well, no, not. That's not how sport works, is it? You've got to have winners. You've got to have losers. And
I mean, when I was at primary school, Rob, there was only four kids in my year, so everyone was a winner.
Yeah. How did you get on in sports day?
Do you know what? I was very good at the dressing up race. Did you do the dressing up race?
No.
So you'd run and then you'd have to put on a load of clothes, like wellies, a coat, a hat.
Okay.
And then you'd run a bit, run back, take it all off and run back. I won it 2 years in a row.
Well done.
And then I went on to secondary school, so I basically retired undefeated.
Well done. And there were more people there.
Yeah, well, there's no dressing up race.
No,
we
were doing
proper sports by that point.
Fair enough.
I used to hate sports day.
Really?
Oh, I hated it. Oh, I couldn't stand it. The triple jump.
God, I do think, as you get into secondary school...
The javelin.
I had to do shot put just because I was fat. You do shot put. Why? Because I'm fat. Yes, all right. So I did it, yeah. In my brother's year, the bloke who won javelin, because they taught them how to do javelin properly.
Yeah.
Everyone fought it and did it wrong. He just walked up to it and just stabbed it in the ground half a foot.
This happened at our school as well. Yeah. And the guy got disqualified for not playing to the spirit of the game.
Fuck the spirit of the game. It's not how it works.
Yeah, I think you've seen a loophole and you've gone for
exactly. it. Exactly. And also, there was a little bit of thumb on beanbag action at this sports day. I noticed a few kids.
Oh,
thumb on the beanbag. Don't like to see it, Josh.
Oh, they don't. Oh, that is a shame.
It is a real shame.
That is not what makes Britain great,
well,
is
no.
it?
Do you know what the problem is, though? That's definitely going to be my youngest when she does it.
Oh, mate, your youngest's going to have tethered the beanbag to the tennis racket.
She'll be knocking it out of the other kids' hands, headbutting them and running off. Vinnie Jones.
Tying their shoelaces together like she's in the Beano, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, so she picked her up from school yesterday, right, at preschool.
Yeah.
She's quite tall for her age. She's about the same height as my eldest. She came out in a dress that was way too short. It looked like an 18-year-old going to a school.
Oh, my granddad.
No, but George.
You're not going out in that.
No, because it was for a younger girl. It was for, like, she's tall. And it was for like a 3-year-old, and that's the only one there in the spare uniform.
Yeah,
but it looked like an 18-year-old going to like a school disco nightclub.
Yeah.
It was so short, and her arms are all short up there. And the teacher went, "Yeah, she had a water fight, and she got completely soaked. So we had to put that on her, and she's refusing to put her shoes on the right feet because she likes it this way." She walks around with her shoes on the wrong feet.
She's out of control, Rob.
She is.
You've lost the dressing room.
She's very much her own person at four.
She is. At four. Meanwhile, your other daughter's upstairs just having some chill time.
Oh,
from
she's
her.
Chill out. She's good as gold. It was a heat wave when it was 34 last week. She went in and she went, "Oh, I need to wear my cardigan in." And was like, "No, you don't have to. It's too hot." She went, "No, but it says in the rules I've got to wear my cardigan." So she wore her cardigan in and then took it off. She loves a rule. She's so.
Is it fair to say that one of your daughters is Lou and the other one is Rob? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think that is fair to say. Yeah. One's Lou, one's Rob. So we've got a pair, but it's nice. It's good actually because I think they play better because they're different. If they were both trying to do the same thing, then they're, you know...
Mate, if your older daughter was like your younger daughter, it'd be like the Krays.
Oh, God, no. I think she'll be... Once she gets to school, I think it'll calm her down.
Yeah, that'll work. That'll definitely happen.
Yeah, her parents never said that before, have they?
That was one of the most desperate things I've ever heard.
As opposed to the sort of preschool she's already in. Yeah, yeah, but a different school. Yeah, and rules. Yeah. What she needs is more rules to break.
Once she's got that cardigan on, that'll keep her in line. That'll be fine.
Yeah, but she's got such a cheeky little face when she's doing it, though. It's really hard to keep a straight face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right, do you want some Instagram messages, Josh?
Yeah, we haven't discussed Father's Day, Rob.
Oh, yes, Father's Day. I'm a bit of an anti-climax, really. I don't really do Father's Day. Well, this is why Father's Day. My daughter did a card for me from school, which was nice.
Yeah.
The other one, we paid like a quid or something. She came home with some sweets that were supposed to be for me. She ate them before I saw them.
Yeah. Was that the younger daughter?
Yeah, you guessed it. Lou got me some socks from the girls. And I had a lie-in. We had a bit of breakfast and I went to work. Mate, I did such a funny show. It's coming out in a few weeks. I was a judge on a drag show. It's called A Queen for the Night.
Yeah.
And it's famous people doing drag and doing drag performances.
Oh, wow. And you're a guest judge?
Yeah, because part of it is they all do different genres. So some are singing and dancing. So Mel C from the Spice Girls was there. Courtney Actor, drag queen. And then Leighton Williams, who was in There's Something About Jamie.
Right.
So they're doing all that feedback on that. But then they also was a comedy and impressions. So I was sort of...
drafted in
for doing that, and it was so funny.
So can you tell me who's doing the drag act?
I can tell you. So it's Lorraine Kelly's the host.
Oh.
Right, and then basically there's all these celebs, and then they've got drag queen mentors that are good at that specialism. So there was magic, impressions, comedy, lip syncing, singing, dancing, all sorts, right? But so the people on it, right, you're gonna absolutely love this lineup. Okay. It had George Shelley from Union J, Chris Hughes from Love Island,
right? Yeah. What, is that why we're discussing Union J the other week?
I must have been in my subconscious. Simon Gregson from Coronation Street. Steve McDonald.
Steve McDonald.
Big time.
Steve McDonald. Oh, wow. What was he like? Oh, you can't say, sorry.
Yeah, I can't tell how he went, but he was on it. Then England rugby player, Joe Marler.
Right, yeah.
He's an absolute beast of a man.
Yeah, I bet he is.
They had Adam Woodyard, Ian Beale.
Ian Beale? Yeah. Adam Woodyard? He's finally got another gig.
Yeah, and Mr. Motivator.
Oh, this is my scene, Rob.
It was so...
Steve
honestly,
McDonald, Ian Beale and Mr. Motivator doing drag. When's it on? ITV, presumably.
Yeah, in a couple of months. I think November time, maybe. I'm not sure. They've got edit, but it was so good. Because basically... But there's a bit. I don't want to spoil it, but basically, like, when they introduce the drag queen and they've got their new name, they come up on, like, this sort of, like, thing that, like, lifts them up from underneath with smoke and you just see them.
Oh, yeah.
And, mate, it's like sort of Yo Sushi, but for celebs in drag. I could watch celebrities come up on this lift forever until I died. It's amazing. The feeling of waiting to see what Ian Beale / Adam Woodjack will look like in drag.
Oh, my word, yeah.
The buzz was unbelievable. And because it had loads of good drag queens on it, it was good.
Did he have an Ian Beale-based drag name?
I can't tell you anymore.
Oh, okay.
Or what they did and how it went, but it's definitely amazing. I was there, obviously, for the whole thing, and it's going to get edited down, but I enjoyed all of it. Well, you know what? Like, sometimes TV records drag. It was fucking mental, mate. I loved it.
That is brilliant. Oh, my God, I can't wait for that.
Yeah, that'll be good enough.
Few Instagrams before we head?
Yes, I've got loads of Instagrams for you. Some really good ones. A good one here to make Tom Crane feel better.
Oh, my word.
You know his WhatsApp mishap last week?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sending this in just to make Tom Crane feel a lot better. He seems a lovely chap. My son attended a very fancy prep school in the RBOKC. Is that the Royal Borough of...
Of Kensington and Chelsea.
Robocock.
Yeah.
Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea. All very fancy.
Yeah, very nice.
The parents introduced themselves on the class WhatsApp group. All very nice. My sister asked via WhatsApp, what do they seem like? And I jokingly said, cunts.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know where it's going.
Yeah.
I thought it was strange she hadn't responded. And the blood drained from my face when I checked my phone. I sent the message to the class group. I obviously deleted it, but it's fair to say...
Oh, yeah.
After 30 minutes, everyone had seen it.
Oh, you could check the blue... You could have checked the blue ticks to see who had actually seen it.
Don't tell him that, he will. It wasn't mentioned until I became good friends with a few parents, and they all said they peed themselves reading it. I hope this makes Tom feel better. So maybe, Tom, you'll be all right. It just takes a little bit of time. You'll laugh about it one day.
WhatsApp mishaps. Ideal, we're looking for.
WhatsApp mishaps. Yep, perfect.
Yeah.
Kid-related or non-kid-related, it's absolutely fine. Reasons for getting called into school. Do you want a couple of these?
Yeah.
There we go. Hi, guys. Was listening to your podcast regarding reasons parents were called into school and sparked a memory of when my late uncle Dave was asked to go for a meeting with the head teacher. Dave had brought his son Greg, aged 6 at the time, a game for his Xbox. As it was a surprise, and he had nowhere to put it, he hid it down his trousers and took it out to give it to his son, saying, "Surprise, I got you this game." Greg was made up. Greg went into school the next day and told the class, "Daddy pulled out a special surprise from his trousers." But omitted to say what it was. When questioned, he said it was a massive magic surprise.
Oh, my word.
Dave then received a call from the school to summon him for a meeting, as the school were quite concerned about the whole trouser surprise.
No.
He obviously explained the situation and they saw the funny side. Absolutely love listening to podcasts. Kind wishes, Jamie. But J-A-I-M-E. Jame?
J-A-I-M-E.
Jame? Or Jane?
Jame.
Yeah,
J-A-I-M-E.
Well, apologies if we've got that wrong. Jame.
Jame.
Jame. Jame.
Jame.
Yeah, that's not ideal, is it? The old trouser surprise.
No, but also, if the school's thinking this is a big enough of a deal that we're going to have to investigate, you could easily
that is weird.
Improvise that cover story. Do you know what I mean? Like,
also, like, put the game behind you in your pocket.
What was the game?
An Xbox game. So it's only like as big as a DVD box.
Yeah. What, down his trousers?
I do think it. I think that is weird.
That is weird, yeah.
I just don't think... When you're surprising a child, nothing should be whipped out of your pants. Whatever it is.
He's putting it between his pants and trousers, I'd hope. He's not putting it...
Yeah, I don't think it's on peanut. No, yeah.
There's not, like, a pube caught in Grand Theft Auto.
No, I don't think there is. It's a great reference.
It took a lot of bad driving to get the police on you, I always felt, in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like even a small traffic offence and the police should be after you, really.
Well, yeah, I know, but you'll make it a harder game to play.
What, if they just did you for not indicating?
Yeah, or they clamped your car.
Yeah, yeah, because you'd parked up in the wrong place and you'd gone to shoot some people in a building.
It gets quite boring if you just go into like the yard to pay the release fee of your car that's been towed.
Yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, here we go. So we've got another one here. Morning, fellas. Long time listener, first time caller. You asked for examples as to why you have been called into school. So I thought I'd write in with my story. During the third lockdown, makes you feel sick, in March 2021, it was my birthday. As we couldn't go anywhere or do anything, we decided to go for a long walk along the seafront. We live in Portsmouth. We got a coffee and decided to stop to throw stones into the sea. My wife and I were sat at the top of the beach watching my then 9-year-old son and 7-year-old daughter throw stones into the water. My son came up and laid down in front of me whilst my daughter stayed down by the sea throwing the stones. I was playfully dropping the pebbles on his legs and he was dropping them on my feet. We're quite a sarcastic family and my son was jokingly saying that it was unfair that he was getting stones thrown on him and that I obviously love my daughter more because I'm not throwing them at her. In a sort of fun, I'm a cool dad jokey way to prove him wrong, I pretended to throw a stone at my daughter who was easily 50 metres away by the sea. And as I threw it, I said, see, I love you both equally. As with no aim whatsoever, I pretended to launch a pebble at my daughter. However, I did actually release the pebble.
Yeah.
And it was thrown in her general direction.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As I threw it, it took off and headed straight towards her. As it was getting closer to her, she turned around and the stone hit her square on the forehead just above the eyebrow.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
She screamed. She screamed a blood-curdling scream I'll never forget.
Oh, my God.
My wife, my wife looked at me like I was a dick and darted...
Yeah, understandably.
But what an arm on him. And I darted down to see if she was okay. As I got to her, just above her eyebrow, it had immediately swelled up to the size of a tennis ball and she was in a state she was struggling to catch her breath through shock.
Oh, my God.
She's 7 years old. I carried her back. She sat with my wife so she could console her. As she calmed down, she looked at me in the eyes and said, I'm so sorry I cried and ruined your birthday, Daddy.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's awful. Oh, my God. Whoa. No.
Which is obviously...
Did she know he'd thrown it?
Yeah. I don't know. I think she's a bit dazed at this point, which is obviously the worst thing you can hear from your daughter.
Oh, my God.
That accident cost me a complete revamp of her bedroom, including new bed, wardrobe and telly in a room. All in all, spending
about... She's absolutely played him.
All in all, spending about 900 quid. Worst decision ever made, an idiot tax of the highest order.
Oh, my.
Anyway, school reopened at the start of March and my daughter went in.
We're still going. This story's still
going.
Yeah,
it gets worse. My daughter went in with a pretty noticeable green bruise and lump on her head. When the teacher asked how she had done it, her response was, Daddy threw a stone at my head to show my brother how much he loved him.
Oh, my God.
Followed by,
oh, my God.
It's okay, though, because he brought me loads of stuff to make up for it.
Oh, my God.
Which makes it sound like I'd beaten her and then brought her nice things to keep her quiet.
That is incredible.
The school called my wife and asked if everyone was safe and if they needed to intervene. My wife explained the situation and thankfully they understood it was an accident. Luke from Portsmouth.
Incredible.
Unbelievable. Poor old Luke. Well, poor girl.
Absolutely astonishing. Yeah, poor girl. Well,
do you want to do a small business?
Yeah, that is absolutely...
Strong stuff, isn't it?
Really strong stuff. If you've got anything on being called into school or parents' WhatsApp groups, do send them in.
Send them in. Also, as well, I've got this one as well, celebs in weird places. I served Mike Tyson in Blockbuster, Gorton, Manchester, in 2006. He was in Manchester to referee some kind of charity fight from Steve Holden.
There's a curry house on the Curry Mall called Lal Keela, which has got a picture of Mike Tyson having a curry in it in Manchester. I wonder if it was on the same trip.
Oh, what a night Tyson had. Curry and Blockbuster.
Curry and a Blockbuster. Why not?
Good on him. It just shows even the rich can enjoy a Blockbuster and a curry. Multi-millionaire Tyson. Right, we need small business shout-outs.
Right. How about this one? I just heard that Josh enjoyed, despite poor sleep, his stay in Whitstable. So thought it might be a good moment to request a small business shout-out for my husband's business in Whitstable. His name is John Hogbin. What a name.
Oh, the Hogbin. Go on, Ogger. Oggy, oggy, oggy. The Hogbin.
Ogbin, and he makes coastal-inspired lino prints and paintings. He started selling his artwork in a fisherman's hut in the harbour in 2016, about 6 months after we had our son. His website is www.foreshorearts. Now, I'll spell that. Four as in F-O-R-E, Shore, SHORE arts.com.
Oh,
I know you'd appreciate a shout out, and we'd love to see you when you come to Whitstable again. Thank you so much. All the best. Rashenda Hogbin. There we go.
Rashenda Hogbin.
Vincenda and John Hogbin.
Vincenda and John Hogbin. What, some actually unbelievable names, like poems. Vincenda Hogbin, the VH.
There we go.
I've got this one here. Here we go. Hi, a while back you talked about trying to give more geographically diverse small business shout-outs. How about one all the way across the pond? Well, this was basically...
Wow, Whitstable was a bit of a push.
Well, no, we've had a lot in the southeast and London, so we were trying to do more up north.
Yeah.
But this one, my father and stepmother own an organic cafe in Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow. Yes, please.
It's been a bit of a struggle, and they've managed to survive through the pandemic and, in fact, recently moved to a slightly larger location.
Oh, good
work. They have great coffee and tea, as well as pastry, sandwiches, and entrees. The pancakes, what are entrees, like main meals?
Like sides?
Don't know.
The
pancakes are a particular highlight, and everything is made with 90% organic ingredients. I mean, at the 90.
Come on, go all in.
What's the 10? What the fuck's the 10?
Haribo. Just some Haribo in each thing.
And everything's made with 90% organic ingredients, including many from partnerships with local farmers. The address is 2915 Guadalupe Street, or you can check them out at Pasha Cafe, P-A-C-H-A Cafe, CAFE.com, or Pasha_Cafe on Instagram. They do dine-in delivery. That's good for anyone in the UK. I don't know if they deliver that far. And pick up. Thanks very much, Rosie. Right, I tell you what, if anyone is listening near Austin, Texas, or is going
to go
there, you've got to go to Pasha Cafe and take a photo and send it to us, and we'll put it on our Instagram. Let's see how far this podcast spreads. Imagine getting a photo from Pasha Cafe.
I love that they've struggled, but they've still moved to a bigger location. That's the kind of can-do attitude you only get in the States.
8 till 8. Oh, it looks great. They've got all massive eggs. I wonder if they're the organic bit. All I keep doing, though, is looking at their dinners and go, what 10% of that?
What's the 10%?
Where's the 10% on that? Looks nice, though, the cafe.
Well, there we go. I'll never go to it. So, let's be honest. It's no fault of the cafe. There's no point me looking at the menu. It's in Austin, Texas. I live in London.
What would get you there? 100% organic?
Yeah, I'd fly out 100%.
Yeah, sure.
No.
Okay,
no.
We should do a live episode from the Pasha Cafe.
Yeah, we should. I'm more than happy to.
Actually, I'm not going to do that.
No.
It's a lot of hassle, isn't it, just to go and sit in a cafe for an hour and fly back.
We could say we're there. It's easier.
I don't even come to yours in East London.
Exactly. We're not flying to Austin to do a live episode.
I tell you what, shove your cafe up your fucking ass, Rosie.
There's a middle ground, Rob.
Okay, sorry.
Now... See you on Friday.
See you on Friday with another episode of Interviewing Parents. Bye.
Bye.